to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Brian Wilson alongside Larry O'Connor.
I have no doubt we can meet this challenge if we meet it together. Whatever we learn about this killer, his motives in the days ahead, we know already. The barbarity that we face from radical jihadists is profound.
Whatever we learn about this killer in the days ahead. Hillary Clinton said this. Barack Obama keeps saying this. We'll learn more about the motives of this man as things go on. What? I'm confused by this. Maybe Andrew McCarthy can help me out. He's a former U.S. attorney and also a columnist at National Review. You wrote a little bit about what could potentially be the motives in National Review. Based on what you know about this man, and you've done a little bit of work in your past about figuring out what goes on inside the head of a jihadist, what do you know about his motives that somehow Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama haven't figured out?
Well, look, at least she this time said he was a radical jihadist, which at least gets closer to something that is open to looking at what his actual motivations were.
But, yeah.
You know, look, the hatred of homosexuals is something that's ingrained in Islamic law and has been for centuries. It's basically black letter Sharia since the 10th century or even earlier that... the penalty under Islamic law for being gay is death. And in fact, some of the most influential clerics, they call them clerics, I prefer to call them jurists, because Sharia is really a body of law. It's not a traditional belief system. Sharia jurists have said that gay people should not only be killed, but killed in the worst way possible. And there is a millennium or more of history of just that happening, that gay people being thrown from mountains, thrown from rooftops, hung, stoned, etc. President Obama, based on what we heard from him over the weekend, might be surprised to learn that they were killing gay people even before there was an ISIS and even before there were guns. So I think that's where you look for his motivation. Now, to be fair to Clinton, I don't know why I feel like I need to be
fair. What's wrong with you, Andrew?
Yeah, I haven't had my second cup of coffee yet, but there are millions of people who believe in this form of Islam, and yet it's only a very, very small percentage of them that actually cross into violent terrorism. You know, we've had lots of radical Muslims, even in our country in the last quarter century, they don't all go in and shoot up gay bars, right? Yesterday or over the weekend was actually the worst mass murder by shooting that we've ever had in the history of the United States. So, there are other factors that are going to be in the mix. And my experience as a prosecutor, for what it's worth, is that there's rarely one silver bullet explanation for anything. But I think it's ridiculous not to open your mind to the ideology that drives this when it's right there under our noses.
It seems that the administration and specifically the president are doing backflips, going through all these major contortions to try to keep from saying that this guy was radicalized, by people overseas. We have now learned this morning one of the new developments is apparently the man traveled to Saudi Arabia on two occasions.
Right.
And we're going to try to find out more about what happened then. We seem to be quibbling over words like, well, was it ISIS direct? Or ISIS inspired? Was it domestic terrorism? Was it alone? I mean, this man was inspired by a radical ideology.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. I mean, we've overanalyzed this to the point of it becoming nonsense, and to the point of, the obvious clues which we should be taking in totality being used to cancel each other out and say that can't be the explanation. The fact of the matter is he was an adherent to an ideology that is far, far older than ISIS and Al-Qaeda. It doesn't matter. He may have been quote-unquote radicalized by elements both overseas, and there are some indications in the United States as well. We're going to have to, dig into that. But, one thing does not exclude the other possibility.
Yeah.
He may have been, to quibble over whether he's ISIS-inspired when it's clear that he's Sharia supremacist-inspired, and
yes,
Sharia supremacism has been around for centuries more than ISIS has, it just seems to me to be nonsensical. But it is a reflection of Washington's confusion about this, which is caused by their having had their head in the sand for a quarter century. What they basically hold is that Islam is the religion of peace, full stop. Therefore, if something is violent, it is, by virtue of being violent, anti-Islamic. And they have officially held out ISIS and Al-Qaeda as two of the outfits that are anti-Islam, so you're allowed to call them terrorists. So when a terrorist event happens, it has to have been ISIS-inspired, because otherwise you'd have to say it might have been Islam-inspired, and that's a real no-no. You can't go there.
By the way, Andrew, if you could just take a quick moment to discern if there is a distinction between the Muslim religion and Sharia, because I do hear people trying to draw that distinction. Oh, that's Sharia, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all Muslims, because not all Muslims practice Sharia. Is that a thing?
Yeah, you're. That's exactly right. You're right. It's a very important point. There are a wide variety of ways to interpret Islam. It's a mistake to do what we do in this country, which is, especially since we're not Muslims, Washington tries to make up an Islam of its very own, which doesn't seem to have any principles except that it's relentlessly peaceful. Other than that, it doesn't seem to have any code or doctrine. But the fact of the matter is, there's all different ways of interpreting Islam. There are ways of interpreting even the aggressive, bellicose scriptures so that they can evolve Islam past violence. And a lot of Muslims follow those ways, and they're perfectly, moderate people, and their belief system is moderate. But two things are facts that we have to deal with. One is that the literalist, aggressive interpretation of Islam that I call Sharia supremacism or Islamic supremacism is a mainstream interpretation of Islam that's followed by tens of millions of people. And
yep,
it's silly for us to pretend that that's anti-Islam or, perverted Islam. It's actually very literal Islam. And secondly, Islam's legal code, Sharia, was really set in stone by around the 10th or 11th century. And even people who are moderate Islamic reformers acknowledge that Sharia needs to be changed or ignored or marginalized because it is what it is. It's, especially these cruel penalties in it have been in Islamic law for over a millennium. So this is not something you're going to be able to reinterpret into something else. So there are a lot of Muslims who say that we have to have a separation of religion from political and social life, and they basically use Sharia at most as a private personal compass some parts of which they follow, some parts of which they don't. And those people are fine by us because they embrace
right.
Western liberalism. Then there are other people who take Sharia seriously, and it becomes a totalitarian code that they want to impose on the society. And those are the people we need to worry about.
All right, Andrew McCarthy, we got to leave it there. We're a little over, but it was too good to interrupt because it's very important that we discuss this in very real terms on these days after this horrible jihadist attack, the worst since 9/11. Thanks so much for joining us, Andrew McCarthy, and check out the column at National Review.